I met Tom. I come in the radiant light of God.
Greetings.
Thank you.
E.G. arrived.
While we have an opportunity, let's never miss the opportunity. Most of you ones cannot experience silence and utilize it for the valuable tool it allows you in every moment of your lives. We begin a new phase this day. I've got to have my team with me. A game indeed. But you have to begin to know. You have to begin to know truth, your higher understanding. You will have doubts, but it's time you cast aside your doubts. And I have a reflection, like a bounce off back to me. Well, if you gave us a sign, if you gave us a show, if you gave us a ship, if you gave us money, if you gave us, then I would be able to know. No, you wouldn't. You would do exactly what you do with your medication, with your illness, with your dreams, with your fantasies. You would hold on to them. You wouldn't release them. You wouldn't allow them to come to you. This is a new day, a new phase. We have the tools. We've offered the tools. I had to send my own speaker away so she could understand that I am the teacher. I taught the master teacher. We'll do okay. It's not in your hands. It's not in your head. It's in your soul. None are greater than any other, only different. And we can use these tools for good or we can use them for evil. Evil being anything that pulls anyone even a little bit away from their trajectory, their planned course toward God. It's what happens to you while you're trying to get there. Evil will pull you away. It can be big evil or little teeny evil. And yes, there is a relative difference in size. I appreciate you all coming over here because this is a different kind of a meeting. I had to bring my own hand tool, if you will, to some understanding of the quality and the power of self and source combined. We will have ones who are greatly overweight. Well, I went to a hypnotherapist and they didn't do anything for me. Look, I've gained 20 pounds. You overrode your own subconscious tool so that you could be allowed to this miserable little child wanting to kick you. And actually, it isn't a child. It is an old, old, old self wanting to keep you down and from accomplishment of whatever it is you want to accomplish. I'd like to play just a minute. Sleep. Just go deeper and deeper into relaxation, John. You're going deeper and deeper and deeper into relaxation. You're not asleep. You're very alert. You hear every word I say. You have a problem. It's a little problem. We don't have to know. For instance, where is your wallet? You see, he's beginning to respond. He knows it's funny. No, John. Look at me. Can we do something? Now sleep. Attaboy. You see how slow that is to work. Just let your head go. That's right. Going to pick up your hand. Let your arm loose and limp. When it hits your leg, you're going to go deeper. Deeper within and deeper into relaxation and quit thinking. Just let your mind drift. You're thinking about something too hard. You're trying to focus on it. And if you don't let it go, I'm going to cause you to focus on it all day. Now go deeper. Now just relax. Why is it? And you can answer me. You don't have to look at me. Leave your eyes closed down and tell me why your wallet's so important today.
I need to have something to buy donuts.
No, you've got plenty here to eat. Why is it important? Is it important, John, because it seems to be missing in your mind as to exactly where it is? You're uncomfortable about that?
That's right.
Then why don't you remember where it is? It's always getting lost.
You're right.
And you're honest. I will promise you that by the time you get home, you will remember where it is.
Why?
You may have to look a place or two. But you will remember because you're not going to focus on it quite so strongly and let your mind remember where it is. You can retrace your own steps and you'll find it. You'll be surprised. You truly will be surprised because there it will be. And it will be logical. Do you see how we get hung up on totally unimportant things? He doesn't have to have that wallet. But you see something about John Schroffer. He has had so much taken from him that the moment anything is missing, and there are little bits and pieces of his mind missing, and it's frightening. And we can't put all those little pieces of his mind back together. He has to. And he has to learn to control that child that wants out, kicking and screaming and having its tantrum because it can't function as an adult. It has no way to function as that adult that everyone expects it to be. And it will usually take the advantage of getting worse. Because being well is a frightening, frightening responsibility. And you all hear it in me. I expect you to get well. I'm tired of infirmity. There's no reason for you to be ill. You may get ill, and I may make you sick. But you better start trying to figure out why you feel that way. And are you going to trust enough to believe a thing? I want to show you something. Maybe I want to show you something. God, I can't get her eyes open and my love altogether. I'm going to demonstrate this later. It was shown on the weekend, and Rick will appreciate the fact that we came prepared to not burn up the table. Where are those books? Here. John, you just stay there breathing. Please breathe. Do you believe me, John, when I speak to you? Doris, Hatton, do you trust me?
I know who you are.
All right. Then it's not so hard to believe that we can speak through the mind.
That's right.
Do you believe that possibly you have angels that look after you? I don't care what shape they're in, if they're on two legs or winged or, you know, half
yes,
vapor.
I have a pretty high angel helping me.
Yes, you do. You have the highest angel helping you. All right. Why don't we write a note to your angel? Can we call it, we'll use... How about blue-green paper?
That'll be fine.
That's fine. Today is what?
11.
This is June 11th, 1996. You're running out of time, people. Can we say beloved angel? Dear beloved angel? We're going to write a letter to you, angel. It's your letter, John. I'm just your secretary.
Let's proceed.
Your beloved angel all right with you?
Yes. Please tell me whether I can penetrate your mental archives.
John.
John.
Got profound, didn't you? Do you see what happens? The wonder of the mind. He doesn't give a damn about his wallet. I'm going to write to the angel to bring his wallet back to his memory, and he wants to penetrate the mental archives. Isn't that what you said?
Correct.
But his wallet's probably there.
Better report.
Read it to me again, John, please. Allow me to?
You do it.
Please allow me to penetrate my or the. It's a big difference. Mine. You want into my business?
Well, you're getting into mine. I will retract that if you wish.
Honesty will speak better for you. I'm not going to put it in this paper, though, because I don't want the other angels to know. Why do you want to? You've already forgotten about John, so you may as well tell me why you want to do that. And you know it doesn't deal with John.
It deals with Sananda. I got home the other day and I had messages from, Sananda and another angel.
Do you remember the other angel? Of course you remember him. I'm asking if you remember a label.
Sananda. Quite surprised.
Does Marina remember?
Yeah, let's put her on it. That's a good test for her.
See, look at you trying to shift it off.
I retract it.
We'll ask Marina. Now comes the hooker. Do you believe that your angel can do it?
With you. Of course.
Do you understand that it's actually you having to let it go into those hands and being patient enough, willing to work enough to allow God to serve you?
I would prefer to have God do everything if possible.
Yeah, but it won't work that way. God would rather have you do everything if possible.
All right.
And at least do your share. You'll do your share. I promise to do my share.
That's where my wallet came in.
All right, let's just do one more sentence and then we'll close this. Because we could do John all day, as he thinks. And find my wallet. All right, are you ready to let go of it?
Yes.
Okay. This is a contract.
Wait, what in the world are you
going
to do?
I'm going to make you sign it. A contract must be signed.
What am I giving away?
It says, "Dear beloved angel, please allow me to penetrate your mental archives." That's mine.
Okay.
You explain. That's my archives you want into. I didn't put that I had the right to get into yours. You suggested I already was there. And then I promised to do my share.
Yes.
And find my wallet, too, please. Now.
Find it, please.
Do you believe it will work?
Why not?
Well, that's what I ask you. Why not?
Oh,
what are you going to do to not let it work?
I don't want to block it off or put it in a hole or something like that.
Then sign it. Put your John Swoffer right there. Do you see already your writing is better? Do you see it?
Yes.
Okay. This is a piece of paper. I'm going to do a magic trick. It's a magic trick all of you can do. This is simply a piece of matter. The writing on it was real. It was the expression of thought. And you put it on this piece of paper. Now, for goodness sakes, don't tell the fire department. We are going to turn it into vapor that can go to those angels in their form. And I want you to watch everything that happens in that bowl. Because there goes John. And you're going to have to make up your mind as it goes into the ethers, into angel land. Watch it go and assume it's done. Don't question it anymore. If you question it anymore, it is because you don't believe. If you believe there is angels, there believe, and you believe that there is God, this is one of the most powerful things that you can do. It is a visible reassurance of the reality that all you have here on this plane is a pile of ashes. Your hopes, your wishes, your desires, and your dreams are now with the angels. And we're going to get rid of Zeta's problems. Just that simply. Because you have been provided with what you need, why don't you trust that it will work? Rick is sick today. Why is he sick? He's been taking his Gaia Gold, his Gaia Call, and what did you do, Rick? Own up. He trusted it enough to go get some antibiotics or something in case. Well, actually, if it kills the bug, it's a wise thing to do, isn't it? Come back to the here and now, John. You're a good sport. I appreciate your doing that with me. And the greatest thing that came out of that, son, is that when you searched around, you didn't care about your wallet. You want in touch with the reality of your soul. Life has strangled you. Let's let those angels give you freedom. Welcome back. There is another way. I caused Dorma to wake up this morning. We've been through 10 or 15 years of trying to get to the point where there's enough faith in oneself which is always what happens. And sometimes you wake up and you are electric. And you think, oh my God, there's something wrong with my nerves. For goodness sakes, use that. Use it. And you may be saying in this room, what in the soup are we doing over here today? I'm going to teach you to be hypnotists. And you better start with yourself. It is the key to your future. It is the key to finding your past. It is the key to allow you to go through today. Why do you think it's banned? Why do you think the Christian churches say, ooh, it's awful? Well, I think that that was witnessed on the weekend. You had the master teachers on your place there. And guess what it pulled? It pulled some of the darkest energies also in the area, because they wanted to experience in that master teacher. They wanted their pictures taken with these master teachers. The most shocking thing that I witnessed with my people was the realization that one of them is a perpetrator and brought his little butterfly. An angelic-looking child that appeared to be about 15 to 17. He, a great, huge, burly man dressed in black, black beard, looking like Dante, or looking like Aquino, only bigger. These are stage entertainers that control you. Well, he certainly controls that little doll. And the shock to ones who don't know what's going on, it can be read in their faces as you speak with them. But Rick's going to make some extremely important contacts out of this. Here is this sweet little doll, early pregnancy, and you don't even know after the fact whether or not she's simply a breeder. This little girl tagged along after him when he snapped his fingers. He would stand with his hands on his hips, trying to control the entire room. And he managed to isolate all the, quote, what he considered important people in the room. Ormond, Gil, Tom, John. He would spend time. And he got all the information from them because they are like you. They are just wide-eyed innocent. Well, they weren't fooling the teachers. But after all, this was an open session. They weren't you. Nobody was supposed to come there for spiritual growth. These were heavy classes on hypnotherapy. Only no therapy. This is stage hypnotism. And I wanted it experienced. Dorma has been accused of studying with the master teacher of mind control, David Horton. Not studied with David Horton. That is quoted from David Horton. Betty Tootin. Margie is so programmed, if she ever woke up from her programming. I woke up from my programming. Are you going to sit in this room and say Doris Ecker programs you? Then you are fools.
Well, I can say it.
Well, only because it's true.
49 years of it.
Poor thing.
50 what? You've got to stop this. How are you going to stop this other thing that's happening to you? The inside moles. Who cares? I'll tell you somebody who ought to care, and that's Al Overholt. Because his private document was taken out of an envelope, copied and sent to the opposition. Now, who would come into your private office and open your private mail and copy it and give it to your enemy? Obviously not your friend. Oh, well, I just thought. And then I'm told, oh, Tammy Alley's in town. Well, what are we supposed to do? Hallelujah? Weep? Run hide? Why doesn't somebody go confront Tammy Alley and say, my dear, you are a lying little bitch. Is that strong language? Where is your backbone? If God is so weak that even you cannot confront the liar, how do you expect God to provide you with what you just sent up to the angels? If he is no more worthy of your respect than to run hide from his adversary, then it's you who's weak. And don't give me this allowance bullshit. I don't want to hear it. Allowance is a cop-out, do you see? You can allow anyone to be whatever they want to be, but you do not have to allow them to encroach on your space, your future, your property, your assets. And if you do and you run hide from them, then you deserve what you get. And it will be loss. Every time it will be loss. If nothing more than self-respect. We have powerful tools with which to work. But we are not going to spend our time groveling around here in this little boiling pot of horn and ints. I don't know what stops Bob Turner from walking across that street and strangling Rod Ince. And why do you all tolerate it? You go right ahead and you visit with him every time you see him. And you listen to him. And he says, oh, they're lying about me. Nobody's lying about him. Maybe Charles would like to tell you about the keys missing. He sent them away. He took parts out of a harvester. He took Bob Turner's disc and either sold it or shipped it off. He has turned Bob Turner in for having a little apartment. Turned Bob Turner in for having a trailer in which Tammy Alley lived. And owed almost $3,000 or more in rent when she left. And they have gone to your adversary in Nevada. Is that the Eckers? That's the institute where you have your investment in your anticipated future. And until Friday, your own attorney could not really do a job in the courtroom or across the table because he thought the Eckers really were pulling off a Ponzi scheme. You mean they really buy gold? Oh, my God. How can you win? You send it to the angels, and then you keep your mouth shut and your ears open. And then we're going to suffer through these classes until each of you can do that and mean it. And it's going to be harder for some of you to let go, because the more impact upon your life your instructors give you, the harder it's going to be for you to let go. Well, maybe I better protect something. Maybe I better not move. I may damage the tissue around my ankle and I turned it. If the swelling goes down and the pain isn't there, doesn't it seem reasonable to walk on it as if it's well? If you proclaim it well, is it well or is it not? The brain does engage logically. If you have no kidneys, then you've got a kidney problem, don't you? That's real. But that too can be handled. That's why God gives the gift of invention to someone who wants to share it with the world. Anymore, it's for a major price. But then he's got to live too in this world of major pricing. You always know, though, by the intent. Does Zeta have cancer or does Zeta not? Only Zeta knows. And as long as she fears she does, she has. It's that simple. Does she cling to the treatment? Because maybe it will get rid of the fear. No. She clings to it because she is afraid. After all, she felt it would go away before, but did she? Did she? Only Zeta knows. Would it have gone away if she fully believed? Maybe not. Maybe her purpose is to not have it go away. That's not for you to say. It's not for me to say. For her to say. Did you feel helpless, John, when I was speaking with you? Or didn't you really feel this is bullshit and I could get up anytime I want to?
I could get up.
Thank you. You weren't glued to the chair or anything. You were not helpless.
I just said something.
You expect to be hit with a 10 by 12 and laid out on the floor where someone can do this to you. And this is why stage hypnotism is so much fun. You're not going to do anything against your will. Do not confuse neuro-linguistic programming or trauma-based programming with therapeutic hypnosis or even stage hypnotism. John would never do anything that he would not do were he totally uninhibited or comfortable in any circumstance. Just won't do it. If, however, you carry this big black desire to kill, and somebody is working with you, and suggests that maybe it would be fine to release that energy, pick somebody, you may be in trouble. This is why you don't turn hypnotists loose on the public if you can help it. And that's why Dante, Dr. Dante, is a total, incredible menace upon society. He will bring you in for a 2-day seminar, and then he will certify you, and you go out and heal. Because now you're a therapist. Well, you see, most of the ones who will come to a program like that will go out and do their thing. And they won't hurt anybody. They may even help somebody. look into my eyes and tell me your deepest secrets. And we'll look at them, and now you're healed. Whenever you feel healed, you tell me, and the session's over. And they're going to feel better. They're going to have been relaxed. Everything is wonderful, and they go home, and they're better. Beware those short little programs that make you hypnotherapists. This is where they get their players. Who will come to these and who will follow up and who will go that route and then hang up their shingle and say, I am a hypnotherapist. Come in and let me really screw you up. Or how many will respect it? Handle it properly. Most will simply go out and they'll try to get someone to lose weight or get a child to have a little less hyperactivity. And they won't really remember or know enough to get back in there to find what's the matter with the child that made them hyperactive in the first place. We're going to have some fun, but we're going to learn. And I'm really not interested in how much time Dorma wants to give because I feel that we need to move on to this. We've got some very, very good healing practitioners in this room. And we've got to help each of these so that they can be free in some manner with some support so that they can go with their work as well as handle their life. Because you'll find the busiest ones are the ones with the most responsibility otherwise also. And yes, we can help. I would suggest actually to Kathy that if Robbie would like to come up and choose a bird to come up and spend an hour training one of those children birds. He will grow attached. I'm not talking about cleaning the pen. I'm talking about training a pet. Take Rosie. Rosie's got everybody hoodwinked. Rosie goes where Rosie chooses. Rosie loves who Rosie chooses. Rosie bites who Rosie wants to. And she is the most beautiful bird of them all. And the most loving. And they're the juveniles. Billy, Tilly, and Willie. Hungry to be loved. As hungry to be loved as Robbie. Embarrassed to demand love. Knowing he's getting love and unable to accept himself. So we drift. We drift with the crowd. For the same reason, Kathy, that Robbie will play his games. And it seems he is so handsome, so beautiful, so bright. How could he just drift with the crowd? Why do you be nice to your enemy? Why don't you just line Mr. Ince up and say, you know you are an SOB. And you are hurting me. Why will you drive around the block rather than confront that? Are you afraid you're going to kill him? He's afraid you're going to kill him. Why would he be? Because he knows he deserves it. You don't avoid those confrontations because you don't want to offend, or you want to allow, or you want God to not feel bad about you. This is your life. This is your life. Why do you hide? Why do you hide? You have got God. And because they say you're just brainwashed. You know better. Why'd you ask me to fix it? Why don't you fix it? I know you just don't want any more confrontation. But as long as you allow the enemy to wiggle into your very soul, to manipulate you, you're going to lose. And quite frankly, we don't have any more time to waste on it. Do you go seek them out? It's probably time some of you did. Oh, I don't mind confronting them. Bullshit, you don't. Or you would do it. If you had as much faith in God as they do in their evil, calling it God, you would take two of you and you'd go down and have a little visit with these people. And then you would pick up the telephone and you would call Stephen Horn and saying, buddy, you are making a big, bad blunder. We are not going to stand for it. We're not going to be intimidated by your black energy any longer.